It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hog bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He's dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Pedersen stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores!
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Thursday edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer, coming to you from the lineupmedia.fm studios, home of Yo Radio. Download it today on your mobile device. It's free. It's a great streaming platform that you guys are going to enjoy. Got some cool stuff happening with Blues Talk behind the scenes with Yo Radio that I'm hoping will come to fruition sooner rather than later, but I'm excited about it, and we shall see what happens. Love to welcome in the studio my good friend and yours. To my right today, as Mr. Rivers is on assignment, and we'll discuss on assignment here in just a minute, but let's welcome in the real star of the show, Darren Kimball.
Hey, you know what? I haven't been here for a little bit, doing a little, you know, work and all that jazz.
All work, no play.
Yeah, but your voice has got deeper. You sound like you got that porn voice going today.
What's going on? Going
what the hell was that all about? Like, hey. Like, usually you're jumping and bumping here, but that's got that.
Stage seven.
Yes.
Darren Kimball.
Yeah, so were you over there or something that I don't know about?
No, not at all. Okay. Refreshed, rejuvenated.
Refreshed.
Like you. You've inspired me.
Refreshed for what?
I've lost 15 pounds.
Oh, you're doing that refreshing.
Well, I lost 10, and then I got my hair cut, so that was 5.
I got you.
And then I just feeling better. My back finally. You know,
our good friend
inspired by you again. Went and saw somebody finally about my back. Feels better.
Yeah, our good friend Gary Hansen did that too. He got his hair cut one time, and he lost about 10 pounds. I said, holy shit.
He grew it all back. Feeling better.
Good for you. Modern science.
Thank God.
Once you get older, it helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Being able to get out of bed in the morning and not fall down right off the bat's a good thing.
That's a good thing. I did that too, though, when I was young. So.
Well, but I'm not hungover. That's the problem. If I was hungover, it'd be okay. But when I wake up stone sober, I'm interested to get your take on a few things today. As like you said, you've been fighting the good fight out there, and lots of things happening behind the scenes with the Blues. We had ourselves, as Rivs likes to coin, a three-game winning streak. Once it gets to three games, you can call it a winning streak, I guess. Here's what I say about losing in overtime. People always say, we didn't win. And I'm like, that the whole kissing your sister thing. But what I always say is, if we would have won in overtime, you would have said we won.
Mm-hmm.
So since we didn't, we lost, right?
Exactly.
So, be that as it may, as far as the Blues playing better as a whole, the question lately has come down to always an interesting topic, and that's goaltending, right? Because of what Binnington's been able to do while he's in the net from a win standpoint, performance standpoint. And so they have the back-to-back.
Yeah.
And, I think you guys have been pretty open and honest about things, and you've given Allen credit at times. You've not given him credit when it wasn't due. You've called the kettle black when you felt the need to do it. But you've also kept people in check by saying, listen, he's not the problem that you think he is at times, although recognizing that he could be.
Mm-hmm.
So then, Binnington plays well. We have the back-to-back, and then people lose their minds when they come out and say they're going to go ahead and play him against Washington. Now, they had a method to their madness.
Yep.
Back-to-back games. Jake had played well against Washington the last time they played, so they just went this route.
Mm-hmm.
It's one game. You'd like to say he quieted some haters. The team kind of quieted some people because they played pretty well in Washington. That's probably not
you know, it's a daunting task.
Did they play pretty well, or did Washington absolutely look fucking dog shit?
Well, I don't know. You tell me. You're
the
pro.
Thought Washington looked dog shit. And I think, and I'm not, people are going to say, oh, there he goes again. No, that's not
what I'm saying. Yeah, there he goes again.
Because the Blues are playing well. They're keeping the puck out of the net. But the Washington Capitals then continued on to Nashville the next night and got their ass handed to them. So there's something going on in Washington right now.
Hangover.
Maybe the shutdown, maybe the government shutdown's affecting the Washington Capitals right now. But I don't. So, but the Blues, you know, and where you're going, I wasn't trying to cut you off there, but
no,
it's because I still don't. So if we wrap all this up, what you're saying here, the Blues are winning games. So that's, it doesn't matter the outcome. I don't give a shit what they're doing. They're finding a way to win a hockey game right now, which is the bottom line. You have to win a hockey game. I don't care if the Washington was playing bad or looked like dog shit or whatever was going on. The Blues have to win. So they're doing that. The scenario where the goaltending plays out, when they told me what was going on and how they were doing this process and Jake playing against Washington, I sat there behind the radio and I said, you fucking idiots, what are you doing here? Bennington playing really well hockey. The team is playing well. The team is confident. And I'll always go to that word when hockey is being played or any sports or anything in life. If confidence is overriding, you tend to do better in anything. And so the Blues are playing well in front of him. They come back and put Allen in there. Hey, and all credit to Jake. He stood on and he played a hell of a game. I don't care what anyone said. He made some big saves.
Oh, yeah.
And so I look at it, and then they come back with Bennington. And great. This is my scenario. And this, I'm not worried about the playoffs, Gromes. I'm really not. This team is so far away from making the playoffs right now. Is if that thinks you're going to keep the fan base happy, go fly a kite. I don't care. That's not what I'm here for. I keep talking about, is there a method to their madness and how they're going to build this to be a Stanley Cup team? And they're not there. Yeah. So by going on, what's going on right now is I think it could be turn out to be a real positive thing for a lot of people, including Jake, because I think Jake's going to find his way out of St. Louis here soon. When I say that, I think if a goaltender is going to come in, I think with the Jake and I like him. I like him as a goalie. I really do. I know there's been some hiccups in here, and people in St. Louis are always going to say, yeah, but he goes there. I've always liked Jake Allen as a goaltender. I see the Boston Bruins right now are fighting a goalie problem. I see other teams out there that are fighting goalie problems. If Jake gets playing well, I find it a way for the Blues to move a salary here and to go in a different direction. I think they have to go in a different direction in the goaltending. I just believe that. It's just,
regardless of Bennington. It doesn't even matter if Bennington is a future starter or not. I mean, it's irrelevant.
And that's huge what Bennington's doing right now, because, like I said, the Blues were playing well in front of them. You know, so it's, they're not giving up a lot of goals. You're still only getting a little bit of scoring from Perron's obviously doing it, and O'Reilly's doing it. You're not getting much else going on. Tarasenko actually he scored. Sorry, I'll take that back. And
he looks better.
Yeah, he looks better.
Those are some snipes.
Yeah,
those aren't like cheap goal. Like,
but confidence. But we're going to go to confidence because he was a fucking dud for how long? And people are going to argue. Well, they, you know, no, he was. Yeah, he was. And so now he puts the puck in the net.
Well, the thing is, when you're a goal scorer, even if you do some other things well in the game, you got to score goals.
Got to score goals. That's what you're. That's what you're making the money for.
Yeah, I mean,
you're on this damn hockey club for, just to score goals, especially with all the all the power play time that you're getting, and probably hats off to the Chief, Craig Berube. You know, he started flopping some guys around and putting some guys on the power play that were actually fourth line players, and now they're playing power play. So he's shaking up the environment in the dressing room. So Chief right now he's pushing all the right buttons as of now. So things are going in their favor, and that's good. It's good for St. Louis because the town was sort of, as far as the hockey fans go, the town sort of, getting a low here going. So now you got some hope going again. The positives are coming back. And that's great for St. Louis. I'm happy. And it's nice to see, the guys are playing hard. So, hats off to them. And hopefully they continue this process. And who knows where it ends up. But I think there's going to be, trade deadline's going to come, and things are going to go, and things are going to come, and I think the Blues are going to be in the buying market and the selling market. I think they're in there
because they can do both.
Yeah, but I think Jake's going to be one of them. I really believe that. Yeah.
Because for me, as I look at the thing and I try to say, okay, I understand what you're saying. Rivs will point out, and he's accurate. The playoffs, You know, we can sit here and say, okay, you know what? We don't have a Stanley Cup contending type team. But we expect a better team as Blues fans, and we deserve it so. And you guys are very, you know, open and honest about that. The playoffs are a big thing financially for the club.
For sure.
You know, that's the way they budget, right? So, the you know, to get to the playoffs means that that means their budget
especially
is working.
Especially with the new fucking practice rink coming into. Sure, you know, they need all the help they can get. Yeah.
Lots of things. That being said, to your point, like with changes, and you look at like how you're going to do this and the players that come in and what they're going to do, some of the same old doesn't seem to be there. How much of that do you think is on, like you brought up Craig Berube. I'm not like coming up with any conspiracy theories. Maybe it's taken a little while. Maybe his message and the way he does it, maybe it's taken a little while to for people to say, you know, on the flip side of what we were talking about earlier, maybe like, well, I guess he isn't going anywhere. So, you know, he's – and I think he's a notable, like, no-nonsense guy, right?
I agree with that, you totally,
know?
Yep.
So maybe that message is starting to sink into some guys. I don't know. You know, I'm not there.
I would think he'd be a guy that you could, you know, play the game, the game that he played. I'm pretty sure Chief would be like a lot of guys that have done our job because he did the same job I did. He did it for a long period of time, which I, you know, was unbelievable how long he put in. But
he could play a little bit.
He was there for a role. Sure. That's right. What he was there for, and he was a team player. And usually, when you're a team player in that supporting role, you're a guy that had to work his ass off to stay even around there. So work is a big thing for you. So getting these guys to buy into the work aspect of it is probably the biggest thing. And if because you know it ain't hard to go out and work. Everyone can go out and work. Everyone has that capability of working. Skill level is different, but everybody can work. So if you're going to buy into Chief's theory, I'm pretty sure first thing that he does, you have to come work for the men. And if you do that and you're going to throw it on the line for him, he's going to like you. And I think, you know, with the what's the guy's name there that – oh, he's playing on the power play for him right now. He's a fourth liner.
Sundquist?
Yeah. He, you know, the where he started out at, but he goes out and works his ass off. And I think Chief's taking a liking to him because he's sticking him on the power play. He's giving him an opportunity. And he's playing a factor in these games right now. So, you know, that's what kind of coach comes in. But – as far as the coaching aspect, I don't think you're going to really get an idea of if he's going to be the guy for long term because I think how this team ends up the season, where it goes, I think the guy that owns the team is going to have to make a call on Mr. Armstrong. He's going to have to make a call. And I think Chief is Armstrong's guy. Armstrong being the boss, the GM, I think Chief is his guy that he'd probably want to come in here.
So you think the Chief – would be if Armstrong stays, you think that bodes well for Chief?
Yeah, because they've been together, and I think they've created a bond here for, you know, when Chief got fired from the other job. I don't know if it was in Philadelphia or where the hell he was, but he come here and he was sort of, you know, he wasn't on the payroll, but he was going around getting ready for the Team Canada because you know, so he was sort of running in those circles with Armstrong and that. So they've probably created a bond here, and so if things go in that good direction, and you know, but. You still got a lot of way to play out here. So, because if they don't make the playoffs, I think our ownership is probably going to take a good hard look at what's going on around here.
Well, speaking of the playoffs, and we can start talking about this. You know, it was interesting, and somebody had tweeted it out, and I thought it was a good tweet. You know, surprisingly, now, obviously this was before the overtime loss, which we still got a point from, and that, you know, people like to talk about that too, and we can kind of have some fun with that, but, you know, well, I don't want to hear about, you know, we got a point when we should have got 2 points. I would
You're
say
lucky
that
to
that
get a point.
Well, that was a game that I will say, you know, I'll take a point in that one. You know,
well,
those are the kind of games if you can come back and get a point and then get your 2 points when you should, that works.
Depending, because the first period, the Blues didn't play well the first period. They actually laid an egg in there. Yeah. And then, because I think they only had like 7 shots on net in the first period. And then they come in the next period, and I think they had like 18 shots. So they started to play good hockey after that, and they started to take the game over. Right. So I think they started out the game not deserving a damn point, and then by the time the game was over, how much they put in, they deserved the 2 points. But they got what they got. It is what it is.
So, you know, I guess the end result, though, is that you start looking at it, and they've got games in hand, and then all of a sudden from a point total, getting in, you know, to the top eight doesn't seem so far-fetched.
No, it's not. They're right there.
So, you know, they're going to have, you know, tough games coming, as always. I mean, this division, there's very few nights when you go, oh, yeah, here's a gimme. So if that's realistic, And we're all believing that, you know, Bennington's, you know, and I don't know, like when I say all, I'll be careful to not include you out there if you're going, not me, I'm not me. If it's Bennington, you know, or Allen or whoever, I mean, isn't ultimately that going to be probably the biggest thing in your mind? Like, yeah, well, can they do this or can they just, or, you know, they've had success in the past with like a tandem situation. Yep. But let's, you do that?
Yeah, but no, because I don't think it's going to happen. And on the goalie situation, I'll just throw this out there as a guy looking back and or that's played the game and just looking at what's going on here in St. Louis. They go tonight, right? Is it tonight against Boston or is it tomorrow night? Tonight, isn't it?
Check. Go ahead.
But they're going to play the Boston Bruins, who are struggling goaltending wise right now. So they're going to play Boston. Boston's not playing well
yeah,
right now.
Yeah.
You know, Boston's.
I had it clicked on the wrong day. Yeah.
Boston's. You know, they've struggled here lately. So they're going into a thing, and just keep your eye on what if I don't know if they've called the lineup out yet or not, but I'm sure Jake's going to play. And
I haven't seen anything yet.
If he doesn't, I'll be very shocked because here's a guy now. If I'm going to even think about moving this kid, moving Jake. Here's a team that probably could really want him, so now I'm going to play him in their building against him. So that's just the way this game is played. That's how they do these things. So that part said, but now so Steen's been sitting in the press box, not for press box reasons. For you know he's been hurt.
Sure,
they're winning without him. They won without Petro. Petro was out of the lineup. They started winning hockey games. He comes back. Does he make him a better hockey? Of course he does. But I'm just saying, when people start to that have been here a long time. And they go out of the lineup, and the team wins. Then it starts putting question marks in the air, I believe. And you know, is Army in the position he's in? Because you know, probably a month ago, everybody was on the block, right? So
right.
He's had to float these names out there.
We haven't moved anybody.
Yeah, we haven't moved anybody. But now, every time they win, and here's tonight. So if you go into Boston, just say this is just me talking,
right.
And Jake has a hell of a game. And say the Blues keep continue to roll here, and they go in there and they win a game, and say the Boston goalie shits the bed again. Geez, that starts to put a line in it. And now, instead of trading from a line of weakness, which that's what Rivs, you know, our partner always says, you know, you don't want to. And true to that, he is. But now you start to win some games, and you're moving in the right direction. But there's a long term goal and there's a short term goal. The Blues are fulfilling their short term goal right now. Are they ready for the long term goal? I don't know if they're there or not. And is moving Jake, is moving some other big name get you to that long-term goal? Of course it does, maybe, if the right deal's made.
Well, you know, the thing about the whole deal, and I know your take, a lot of Blues fans are going to say, well, I'm worried about today, mm-hmm. right, because I'm spending money, I'm invested in the team. You know, I'm a diehard fan, all legitimate, right? Like,
correct.
You can't say that's not legitimate if you're an invested fan, right?
That's right.
So if you're a fan and, you know, the quote-unquote hockey experts of the world sometime will try to tell you things that may not be going on at the time. So, like, if you look at Jordan Bennington, and again, I'm just going to paraphrase from, like, what I would call a long period of time of reports
mm-hmm.
and opinions and theories. And those would be, he's never going to be a number one goaltender. It just hasn't worked out for him. He hasn't done anything at the lower level here. He hasn't progressed like we thought. He's done nothing to make you think he would be that guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, to a fan that's invested, they would answer that with what? Oh, you mean other than come up here and play really, really well and win three games in a row and pop, 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 right?
Right.
Okay. That being said, I mean, scouts don't always get it right.
Nope.
Guys find a way to outperform their ceiling, I guess, that has been placed on them by somebody else. The first guy that came to mind to me when I was doing the show Monday, and we just barely touched on it, but I want to get your thoughts on it because, and your point is, you had to have played with guys like this, guys that I don't know that people thought they'd be much, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Rollison is the one that comes to mind to me because here's a guy sitting in the minors, I guess. I can't remember how Minnesota got him from us. I don't remember if he just signed there, if it was plucked or whatever it was. But he winds up going to Minnesota, does well, winds up signing, does well there. And they kind of similar paths.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess where I'm going with this is, I mean, you never know for sure, but is it possible that Jordan Bennington could be better than advertised?
Here's the question, because I think it fights with all of us, Chromes, because look at the guys that around the National Hockey just at this point in time. So you got Bishop, who was sitting down in Dallas, playing in Dallas, right?
Yep.
What's his name's up in Buffalo, playing for Buffalo right now, and he just left this organization. So he was another guy that that sort of gets away, and you sit in St. Louis because those guys leave St. Louis, but we stay in St. Louis. So you always hear the news of
Copley's the latest.
Yeah,
one.
Copley's well another one too. You know, and so these guys are coming out, and you know the Blues are sitting there going through a process, and there's a fan base in St. Louis who probably don't like Jake Allen a lot, you know, and for what he's gone through. And I think if you want my honest opinion of him, he's played well this year. He has. When they were going through tough times and they couldn't score a goddamn goal, but Jake was playing well, I thought. And so then, you bring another goalie up out of the minors, and all of a sudden the team catches fire and starts getting – so the team was struggling playing for Jake for some reason. I don't know what it is. You know,
we talked about this. Yeah. If you're going to be honest, you've played hockey in your life. You can't sit here and tell me that there's certain guys you just believed in and certain guys
didn't
as a player.
I totally agree.
Because you're human. You can't. Uh-huh. Well, you're all a team. Yeah, but bullshit. You're a human being. If you don't think he's the answer, yeah. And I've said it. I've noticed it. Gary and I've talked about it for years with the Blues. It's like, look, watch them. When they play in front of this guy, and watch them when they play in front of this guy. And it's never more evident than, like, you know, and for years, which you would highlight on a game, like a game they might lose 2-1 or one. Well, you know, Blues scoring woes continue. And it's like, okay, but did you watch the game? Because what I saw was a team that, you're right, they're not pumping goals in left and right. You know, how many guys have we had in the franchise that have been goal pumpers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Brett Hall, a couple others that have had some
Darren
good seasons.
Kimble, yeah.
But Darren Kimble. But we've never had... Like, we've never been a high-powered team, really. It just wasn't in the cards for us to be high-powered, right? On most, like, maybe once or twice we've had some good teams. But where I'm going with this is, if you know anything about the Blues and you've watched, it's been a team that's traditionally been built on outworking the other teams, playing a physical brand of hockey, trying to do, you know, then you try to manage the PK, the penalty kill, the power play, and then try to come up with a good goaltender and put together a good brand of hockey, right?
Yeah.
So watch the games. And then watch your Blues, and this would go on for a while, and I see it now, and that's where I was going. Watch your Blues, bust ass all night long, put 15 shots on goal in a period, not score a goal, frustrated, frustrated, frustrated,
of course.
In their end the whole time. They come down on a 2-on-2, bang, bang, boom, soft goal, heads go down.
Yeah. But, and you know, but here's, I'll tell you a little, just back when I played, and people listen to the show or don't like him, but Eddie Belfour, who's a friend of mine.
Yeah, I may not like him, but respect him.
Hall of Famer.
How good he was.
Yeah, good goaltender. I sat in Chicago, and when we were playing in Chicago, and this is how fucking vindictive people get in the, you know, the up in the higher ups, and the media gets getting involved in this fucking ball game. People that want to be just cocksuckers, you know.
Sure.
So Eddie Belfour, who's at that time, you know, you get this is when Patrick Waugh, Marty Brodeur, these guys are all rolling, and Eddie's getting mentioned with these guys. So we're in Chicago, and Jeff Hackett's our backup goaltender. Fucking people are calling for Jeff because Eddie, you know, it wasn't his fault. We were losing, and because of him, no. But do goalies let bad goals in once? Yeah, fuck, shit happens. But then all of a sudden, you got this Jeff Hackett guy rolling down the road, and now the media starts fucking pumping his tires for whatever reason.
I remember Jeff Hackett.
And Jeff Hackett's, you know, so we're pumping his tires, and then what's that doing to fucking Mr. Eddie Belfour? Well, he's getting pissed right off, you know, because now I've sat there and bled and sweated out, you know, for the Chicago Blackhawks and give everything I fucking got for you, and all of a sudden you got some fucking no-name goaltender here sitting, you're going to pump his fucking... It happened in Boston. We had Andy Moog. John Blue was a backup goaltender. You know, we had a good team when we were in Boston, and fucking... And Brian was coaching, and all of a sudden when the coach loses a little confidence in the goaltender, which Sudsy did with Andy Moog at the time.
Remember that.
And then Andy Moog fucking, you know, now we're going down a fucking road. We got to sit here and John Blue, some fucking guy that, you know, did he play in the National Hockey League? Yeah, of course he did. So he had to have something, but he wasn't a fucking Andy Moog. And now you're starting goaltender, which happened with Eddie and which happened with Andy when we were there. Now their confidence is dwindling because they're getting the shit kicked out of them in the media by, you know, people that are just trying to cause shit because they got more to write about now. So, you know, that was going on. So
nothing better than a goalie controversy or a quarterback controversy,
you know,
for writers.
And you'll always have that here in St. Louis as long as Jake Allen is here because every fan knows at some point in time during the fucking year, Jake goes fucking AWOL somewhere. And to his fault, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's happened. And, right. you know, and as soon as he has, as soon as Jake lets in one bad goal, everyone sits there and says, oh, here we go again. And now Jake's where, you know, where the fuck's going to happen to him? So that's why I say, I think in the best interest for maybe Jake, and I'm talking on my ass here because I don't know Jake Allen at all. I watch him play, and you know, but I just think there's a road ahead for the guy. It's probably not going to be in St. Louis because he's always going to have to live with those demons that are sitting there. And if he gets playing good, then it's sort of a win-win situation for the Blues and for Jake, as he, you know, people think that I'm, oh yeah, you're fucking crazy, but you know what I mean. He's always going to live with that in St. Louis, and fans will never fucking let, and not even fans, because I'm sure he's got a ton of support. There are people out there, because I see it on Twitter, that like Jake Allen, and they should. But there's a crew and the fucking media, and you can get these dogs in there, and they'll start talking shit, and boom, you know, Jake Allen's a dog again. So, you know, he's going to live with that his whole life here in St. Louis. Maybe something comes up. I'm talking out of my ass when I think something could come here, but I think if Jake goes in and plays a good game in Boston, just keep your ears open here, because I wouldn't be surprised, because I think Boston wants to deal something right now. They're looking to deal, and Blues should be looking to fucking deal.
How about David Backes, healthy scratch?
Yeah, I know.
I thought he handled it right in the media, though.
Yeah. You know what? He's always played his cards right in that, and I don't know if Mr. Backes is the guy we need in St. Louis. You know, I liked his leadership in that, but I think that pony went out of the stable and he's gone for good. So I don't think that's what we need back. We've just talked about it. We need scoring. You know, we need some kind of grinding shit, some physical stuff, because when they play physical, and when the Blues start getting, you know, marooned, and I like Pat, but he's slow, and he has a hard time. And here's me, because I was a terrible skater, so I'm not cutting him down. I'm just stating a fact. Greatest hands in the world, but speed wise, he's got to be one of our bangers, and it just takes him a while to get there. So we need some guys like that, and you know, some guy maybe you can find a pluck. If you're talking big names, and Jake's a big name, and whoever else could be out there, you expect to get a big name back in return. So you know, you're hopefully looking for a goal scorer or something of that sort, or a solid.
A really good young player. Yeah, if you could do that. But those are those are commodities now with the salary cap. So.
Yeah.
Oh no, I thought we were going to get through, but you hear that in the background? Oh no.
Uh oh.
Yep. Here we go. Oh boy, straight from Vegas, baby. Three nights only at the Bellagio, or on stage 7. Jamie Rivers, what's going on?
Good morning, fellas. How we doing today?
You sound like you got a cold. Are you okay? Scratchy throat? Everything all right?
It was a cold. Yeah, everything's working just fine, actually.
You know what? It's good, Rivers. You're proving that you can burn the candle at both ends. I love it. I love it.
It's the oxygen they pump in the casinos down there.
Oh, Jesus. I'll tell you what. They might want to slap it on my face right now. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, no. Well, we were wondering if we were going to hear from you. We didn't know, you know, if you wanted Kimby to carry the ball across the goal line himself today, or if you just couldn't stand not jumping in the convo.
No. I'm happy for Kimby to carry it across the goal line. I just, listen, man, it's about playing guilty.
Yeah.
You know, no. You got to show up and play guilty. That's just the way it is.
This is the way it was always played right here, Rivers. You should be on top of your game right now.
Is this the reason?
I should be spectacular today.
Hey, rumors for the rumors of this is how the morning skate started. You got to get it out, right?
You got to get it out, man. You got to get it out of the system. Sweat it out. Pay the fiddler from the night before.
Yep.
Hey, we've just been chatting a little bit just to kind of bring you up to speed. You know, obviously, on the topic of goaltenders. We kind of jumped on the, you know, everybody lost their mind the other day when they went with Jake Allen, and, you know, some people had kind of forgotten it was a back-to-back and blah, blah, blah. But the reality of it is Jake came out, you know, performed well. Bennington, even in a loss, performed well, and we kind of covered that too. You know, people want to say, well, they didn't really lose. Well, but if you would have won in overtime, you would have said you won, so that means you lost, right? So, but we'll take the point. But, you know, one of the interesting things, Riz, and I'm going to get your thoughts on it, and Kimmy and I were kind of talking about it, You know, Kimby's of the mindset, too, that he understands making the playoffs is really important from the franchise's standpoint, but where are we going as an organization to get to the ultimate goal, and that is to be a true Stanley Cup contender. One of the things that was interesting from one of the fans that I noticed was, you know, it wasn't too long ago, it was really gloom and doom, right? I mean, it looked bad. And not that things are, you know, all perfect now, but, you know, a playoff spot seems doable. I mean, somebody had tweeted out the other day that with games in hand, believe it or not, we were only a couple points out of a playoff spot. So it's doable. In your opinion, how important is it for this team to do whatever is needed to find a way to make it in the playoffs this year?
Well, since they've decided to go in this direction, where what I mean by that is, you know, when things started to cave in a month ago, at that point, you know, the organization, Doug Armstrong, could have made the choice that that's it. We're selling everything, and we're just going to tank the season and look to do a full rebuild. And he didn't do that. In fact, you know, he didn't really do much at all. And here we are now where, like you said, we're a couple of points out of a playoff spot with some games in hand, this, that, the other. Well, now I think it's important that we do make the playoffs to show the fan base that a couple things. One, excuse me, one, that the organization is committed to producing a winner. Although we're not expecting Stanley Cups this year, I think it's important to show the fan base that we're trying to get there. And two, for Doug Armstrong and his job alone, he's kind of got to prove that he wasn't wrong with this, right? Like, if he sells off everything and they just tank the season, that's basically telling everybody, I was wrong, and it's my fault, and this whole thing is on me. Not that he's escaping that right now. However, if this team does good enough to make the playoffs, he can say, I wasn't that wrong. You know? Hey. So I think that for the morality of everything surrounding it, I think right now, I think it would be a huge thing for this team to make the playoffs, especially after the start they had.
Hey, Ribs, you'll listen to this, you know, the first part where we were talking about this, and Chromes had asked me the question, but and I agree with you, making the playoffs is a big part, but I still believe, and I think this is what I said, the Blues have won when Steen's been sitting in the locker room. The Blues have won when Jake hasn't been playing. Binnington comes up, he plays, and we've gone over this scenario, and I think Jake did immensely well when he come in and played, and, you know, the game, and he played well. He played really well, actually. And I was telling Chromes, and this is just me talking out of my ass, and I just said this, this is how I said it, Ribs, it was that you're going into Boston tonight. I said, I don't know what the lineup is. I said, I'm pretty sure, if I was a betting man, I'd say Jake plays. Because I said the Boston Bruins are looking for a goaltender. And I'm not trying to cause shit here at all. That's not what I'm doing. But, yes, you want to make the playoffs. Yes, you can win without Jake. You've shown that the team plays well in front of Binnington. If Jake keeps playing well, there's teams out there that need something. So, and I used your line. Now you're trading from a sign of strength as if you're trading from a line of weakness. So you get more for your buck right now. And I think that I'm not only talking Jake, but I think there's a couple others that could enter the fray here. And you're still trying to push to the playoffs to get there to help the organization out. But I think you can be building for the future as well as making the playoffs. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. You know, and I think that if you look at the lineup for the last handful of games here, you've had those younger guys put in the lineup. And Jim, we talked about this the other day that, yes, Steen and Bozak have been out and the team has looked faster. The team has been more tenacious. The team has been more successful. Now, is it those two players or is it just those two kind of players, meaning their style of play? So, you know, yeah, I think that it's important to get youth in the lineup. And I think you're right. You know, we want to try and create a trade market for Jake Allen. And if he's your number one goalie relegated to the bench and you don't play him, that doesn't really put much value on him. You're not going to get much in return. So I would agree that if you're looking to deal him, then you want to put him in a position where he can increase his value. And playing against the Bruins and hopefully getting a big win there will help that cause, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering out loud, kind of. I liked what you said. I mean, Kimby kind of went into detail about why, you know, the Chief might make sense for this team. I think a lot of people thought it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to be kind of an in and out guy, but you know, maybe it's taken a while for his message to, you know, maybe he had to change a culture. I don't, like, we're not in there, like, we don't know, right? But you guys know him and you know how he is.
I understand what I said though too. I like what the Chief does, but the Chief is tied to Mr. Armstrong here in this ball game because they've gone through a process and they've got to know each other over different circumstances with Team Canada and that. So there's a. Is Chief's theory coming through? If you like to work hard, his theory comes through clearly because you should love to play for the guy if you like to work. He is still tied to Mr. Armstrong, I believe. So right. Mr. Armstrong and Chief's job are sort of on the line together is what I look at it.
Well, where I was going was, I mean, is this just simply a fact of it's smart for the Blues to just leave their options open? Because at the end of this season, and you touched on it earlier, you know, playoffs are a big deal. If they don't make the playoffs, things are different. You know, budget-wise, Rivers brought that up before. That's huge for the franchise. Expectations, things like that. Maybe, hell, who knows? Maybe they make the playoffs as an 8 seed and upset the one. Who knows, right? So is it just smart for the Blues, Rivers, to not make – like, we talked about earlier how it was hard on the players because they didn't know. But at this juncture, do you just ride it out and leave all your options open for the offseason?
Boy, yeah, 100%. At this point – You don't go making changes. Like, you know, the team started off so-so with Chief, and I think that at that point we were kind of like, okay, well, this guy has no power, really. He's not able to make the decisions because he's not the guy. Well, fast forward, you know, a month or so, and now he's got that team working hard, and the identity of that team is a lot of what, like, Chief is, which is, you know, hardworking, blue-collar type guy. So, I leave them in place. In fact, I would argue that if they make the playoffs, I would argue the fact that, you know, he should be promoted or, you know, given the remove the interim tag and make him the real head coach, because where this team was and for Chief to get them to a playoff spot, and if they make the playoffs, you'd have to seriously look at him as a guy that should be in control of this team for a couple of years.
I want to hit you guys with just three quick things that have kind of been on fans' minds that have been coming into the show. Let's start off with something that happened in the game the other night, which I thought was interesting. I had kind of sent it out because I was reading all the tweets, and I was like, oh, who would have imagined that they would have hit Ovi on the off wing on a power play for a one-timer? Because that's what they do all the time. The man has pumped in thousands of goals. We got fans tweeting in that they should be covering him there and all this, and I'm like, okay, well then, so you're going to take one guy over there, and now you're going to have – you're going to leave the house completely open. So it's a problem. But, you know, people want to lay that goal on Jake the other night, and I don't understand it. Right? Well, he sees the shot, and it's like, yeah, but he's moving from his left to his right. I don't understand the concept of why we can't just let the game play out before we unload on a netminder. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, look, if it was so easy to just cover Ovechkin where he stands, then every team would do it, and he would probably be out of the league by now. But, you know, for whatever reason, the combination of his shot, the way he finds that spot, and the guy's passing it to him sets him up for success. And when you have the puck traveling, whether it's 2 feet, 3 feet, or 10 feet across sideways, goalies have to move. And when goalies have to move, it creates openings. You know, if you let a goalie just stay square to you, this day and age, there's not a lot of room to shoot at. But if you make that goalie move, even just a little bit, let alone from side to side, there's openings. They can't get over there fast enough to get set to take up the whole net. So they're coming over there as best they can. And a guy like Ovi, who knows where he's putting that thing right away, that's a tough assignment for anybody. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, look, it was one goal. It was early in the game. Everybody started to panic. You know, from that point on, we played a lot better. So, in my opinion, yes, we have to learn to relax a little bit and let things play out.
For St. Louis fans to even fucking remotely say something like that, and you know why? Because I laugh at that.
Well, because 16 made a living.
16 scored 86 one fucking year, and they couldn't, you know, they couldn't stop that nonsense. Cause the guys are good, you know, right. And Ovi's not even on pace to what Holly did in that period of time, and but he's on a pace right now. He's going to jump up there pretty good. We haven't seen in a bit, but he's like a Brett Hall. Fuck are you gonna? All he needs fucking a millisecond to get rid of the damn thing. And how are you gonna cover it? You just can't. A man can't move that quick.
Well, the way I explained it to him was, I was like, I brought up Hall. I said, you know, what made Hall and Oates so great? Well, number one, Oates was willing to dedicate himself to finding Brett, which some guys want, you know, do whatever, and it's hard to find guys. And he had the talent to do so. But a lot of that stuff was, it just takes one pass across the way to get the goaltender moving. And if you have a guy as talented as Brett Hall or an Ovechkin, as Rivs brought up and you brought up, once the goalie moves and there's openings, if you're that good a goal scorer, your chances of scoring have been enhanced. I don't care whether you think you can see the puck or not as a goaltender from a fan's point of view. So for me, I'm like, I brought that up too. I'm like, some of these guys are just great, and I don't know how you stop them. So, but the whole thing was just, man, it was early in the game. It's like, man, are we going to pile on this way? And I knew it was coming because Binnington had been really good for two games. They made the decision, and it's like, oh, here we go. So interesting enough. Another question that came out of that was, and this isn't anybody complaining. This guy's a good listener, sends in stuff. Derek Steiner, D. Stein, 0920. He's curious, like, why don't they play goalies back-to-back? Is it an unwritten rule? Teams really don't do it. Is it really that taxing on a goaltender to play two nights in a row? I mean, you guys want to touch on this, or is it just common sense? I'll let you go first, Rivs.
Well, I don't think there's any real reason, except for, you know, goalies are creatures of habit, and a lot of times the goalies like to get that morning skate in. They like to get their stuff set up, and they have their whole day of preparation leading up to that game. And, you know, when you have some of this travel, although on the East Coast like they are right now, it's not really travel. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump every time they're changing cities. You know, I guess fatigue could come into it. And, you know, ideally, it gives you an excuse to – not an excuse. It gives you a reason to play your other goalie, to get your number one goalie some rest. So, it's just been years and years of just like the morning skate, right, is part of things now. And that came in, you know, way back, what, mid-'80s or late-'80s. And now it's a staple to where, you know, before all that time, we never had it. And now it seems like, oh, your backup goalie plays, you know, the second game in back-to-backs because, you know, that's just the way it goes. And I don't know. I don't think there's any real reason. Physically, these guys could do it. I think it's just, like I said, a combination of trying to get some games for your backup goalie, trying to make sure that these guys are prepared properly. And I don't know. That's about all I got, Kimby.
I think it's fucking stupid. So you played and I played with guys that I played with Eddie Belfour. He'd play every fucking game if he could. So what their rhyme or reason is, if they can throw it out there, God bless you. But I'll take you back 20 years and I'll show you guys Marty Brodeur, Patrick Roy. I'll show you guys that played every fucking day. So they can tell me all these the new game and that. So I guess I'm old school, so I'll buy into the new school.
You're going to be new school.
Fuck,
man,
that.
The fans won't be able to take it if you become new school. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
No, I was wondering if you were going to touch on one thing you said, Riz, is because, like, I've had, you know, I just told people, I said, I think it's more or less like, if you're going to play a guy and to give him some time to keep him somewhat fresh, because a backup goaltender's job's tough. It's like a backup catcher, right? If you're going to try to find him some at-bats or you're going to try to find him a game, we'll do it on the back-to-back, get it out of the way, that way, and save. But to Kimby's point, too, and I think where Blues fans were going with this, hey, you know, we need to win every game we can right now. We don't have time to rest a guy. If we got a guy playing well, we need him to play. So I'm sure that's where that sentiment comes from, but it makes sense what you're saying.
Yeah, but
so.
Jim, who's your number one right now?
Well, we've been on that a little bit, too. Look at you stirring up shit all the way from Vegas, stirring up shit.
Rivs, Rivs, do you think?
Well,
do you think?
I'm just saying.
Hey, do you think Cromer was the pitcher or the catcher?
Oh my God, that guy hasn't pitched a day in his life.
Yeah. Yeah. You think the old chapstick was catching, huh?
Here we go.
Oh, he was catching chapstick, all right.
Moving on. What? This is one. My guess would be is that you know I would hope you'd be sure. I think you know the answer to this, Rose. Why are the Blues hesitant to bring up Costin, especially with the injuries? Is this really part of the expansion draft that will be coming up? If they bring him up, then that changes the number of guys that are eligible for the expansion draft?
Well, they're allowed to play him up to 11 games before that before his contract kicks in and makes him eligible for that expansion crap. So, you know, realistically, they could bring him up for three games, send him down, wait a couple of weeks, bring him up for two or three games. Like, I don't know if that's on the horizon. In my opinion, I think it should be. Like, you've got to get this guy a taste of the NHL, because if he spends two straight years playing in the minors, all of a sudden, you know, playing in the KHL starts to look better and better for these guys. And I think you got to give them a nibble. You got to give them a taste of what it's like to be in the NHL. And that way there, he stays motivated and stays on track to be the guy that you wanted out of this whole trade. I mean, that's just my opinion. But yeah, we could bring him up, but for 11 games, that's it.
Let me ask you a question. And I mean, we're putting the cart before the horse here, but if they continue to play better and if they keep moving up in the standings, so to speak, do the 11 games, do playoffs count?
That I'm not sure of.
Well, I'm just, because I'm spitballing here, I'm thinking maybe they're waiting till the last 11 games of the regular season, bring him up, almost like adding a player through a trade.
Jesus Christ, Jim. Now you're really overdoing it.
Well, what's wrong? What's wrong with that? Bring him up for the last 11 games of the year.
Now we're going to wait the last 11 games.
Why not?
It's Klim Kostin here. It's not Wayne Gretzky. We're not trying to set the world up here, you know? Like, let's get him some games. Who knows if he can even play in this league?
Yeah. Well, I'm just, I'm one. Well, then I don't know. Then why is he not here?
You want to know why he's fucking not here?
Okay, yeah, I do.
I think the fucking Russian mafia is involved. That's why I think it is.
Uh-oh, conspiracy theory.
Oh, my God.
No, that's all I said, yeah. just to get off that silly topic, Chrome. I just had to do that.
Would you bring him up?
Yeah, you got to bring him up.
They're looking for me now.
They've been looking for you for a long time, my friend. They stop by the office once a week, and I tell them you're out of the country.
Vegas isn't a good place. There's a lot of sand out there. Vegas ain't a good place for that.
You're with Saul Goodman. You and Saul Goodman are running cinemas out in Arizona.
No, you have to. After the World Juniors, him, you know, and being not only like named the captain of the hockey club, and everyone talked about it, he was having success. I don't understand it either. So I think I don't know what's going on. There's something. There's more to this than fucking I'm even fucking aware of. So, and if I'm not aware of it, and if Rivs can't give it to us, and then there's something going on that I don't know of.
Yeah, I don't. I honestly don't know anything that would be above and beyond. So, if it's there, then it's buried. But. Yeah, I mean, I said a couple weeks ago, I'd give this guy a couple of games just to wet his beak a little bit and kind of go from there.
Yeah, I'm sure it would mean a lot to him. Well, I tell you what, man, I know you were gracious with your time here. What's on the agenda today out in Vegas? Anything good?
Oh, well, we're going to make sure we go to the early mass here today. I'm going to get in the church and forgive my sins. But no, we got a bunch of stuff out here. We come out here, my brother's company and our company up in Canada for advertising stuff. And so there's a big convention today and we head off to the convention. And then, after that, we're going to go see our buddy over at the D Las Vegas, Kimby. Old Banksy.
Old Banksy. I see him on Twitter.
We're going to go say hi to him and some dinner. And
just for our viewers there, Rivs, I'm going to help you out here. You aren't in studio, so I come over here to sit in your seat and, you know, keep it warm for you till you get back. And I heard your nose and the congestion that you're going, so I looked under your seat here, and I'm looking down, and there's these white napkins all crumpled up. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that you got a cold. I hope that is, or Cromer ain't throwing these white napkins over here for something. I don't know.
I don't have a cold, and anytime there's white napkins crumpled up around Cromer, I'd step over them.
Yes, it's good glue.
Yeah.
Holy shit. We got all kinds. Hey, listen, I gotta get your opinion here. Look at we got Twitter going crazy here over D. Kimble's first NHL fight and his first NHL goal. What a celebration!
That fucking first game that I ever played, and I'll put it up against fucking anybody's. I don't care. That was fucking outstanding.
That's as excited as I've ever seen.
Look who I'm playing with, and then on another shift where I fight.
Stasny?
Peter Stasny. What the fuck's going on? What happened to my life?
Man, I got to look at this again.
You must have
look
got
at
a
the
bad
speed.
There's no way you're on the ice on purpose.
Oh,
with him.
On one of my fights, though, Rivs, I'm lined up. He's lined up on the faceoff with me. So what the hell was going on?
You haven't been that excited. The only time I've seen you that excited was on your wedding day.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I thought.
I mean, that is crazy. What a celebration.
Wow.
Look at you pumping the fist right in front of the devil's bench, too.
Tell you what, it looks like I'm the same weight right now, too. That fucking things are going good, man.
Man.
Hey, I saw your boys last night. We practiced with them last night, Rivs.
Oh Jesus! Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, we had all the 15s and this bunch of the 16s were out in the ice, and we had the other half because we're getting ready to go to Colorado and they're going to playoffs, obviously. But it was kind of funny because your Ashton walks skates up beside me there, and he's just standing beside me, and fuck, then all he was bent over and he leaned up, and I said, "Holy fuck, you're getting tall, young man."
Yeah. He's a bit of a lurch out there. You got to watch him.
I'll tell you. I almost told him, you're fucking dad here now. Get away from me. You're too fucking big, because he was always coming over to me. And I said, what's going on here?
He likes you, Kimby.
Yeah, I know. No, he's a good kid. I hadn't seen him play this year. He looked good. And your other boy's looking good, too. It's hard. There were so many fucking, we had about 40 people on the goddamn way. So it was like a training camp thing going on, but. I just because of you and knowing who your kids are, and I sort of tend to look that way and see what's going on. And they're looking good. They're looking good.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. I know they enjoyed getting out there last night, and they love you. So thanks a lot, man.
Yep. Hey, I want to ask you real quick before you go. We got into an interesting conversation right before the show, and I think fans see the game. Everybody sees it through their own eyes and the things they like about the game, and then there's things within the game. Tom Wilson, like that type of guy and that polarizing figure, brings out a certain type of fan who maybe doesn't like this or that. But we got to talking about some of the young kids, and my son had played hockey with some of the kids when he was younger that play for Darren now in Granite City. And one of the kids was a hell of a player that he kind of had given it. We were just talking in general about all these kids. And I was saying, boy, he looks mean. And he said, he can play that way. And then he started talking about other kids and how they're mean. Like, and then he was talking about your older boy, and he said, he plays really, really, he plays a hard brand of hockey. How important is that for kids, for people to understand that if you're going to play this game, you've got to be able to have that mentality? Because I think what happens is when we see guys in NHL and they do things, I don't think we understand the competitive level, how high it is and how hard you have to play and how you have to have that inside you. But I found it to be an interesting conversation because of the young players. Like, we don't realize that these guys were all young once, right? And how did they become NHL caliber players? I mean, isn't there a mean streak, so to speak, or a physical thing, regardless if you're a finesse player or not, that you almost have to be able to play this game?
Well, yeah. I mean, not everybody has it. Just certainly, this day and age, there's some guys that are born without it, period, or they have it removed. I'm not sure, one of the two. but yeah, it's important that these young kids, in my opinion, play the game the right way. And to play the game the right way, you compete and you work your ass off every single time you touch the ice. And if being tough or playing tough falls under the umbrella of competing, then yeah, that's what it takes. And I don't think you should be easy to play against. I don't think it should be fun for the other team to play against you. They shouldn't look forward to it. They shouldn't like you on the ice. And, so that to me, and I know Kimby's the same way with Lawson. And, you guys poke me all the time about the Tkachuk situation. But that's a gentleman that was the same way with his kids. And no matter how talented they were, he didn't want it to ever be easy to play against those kids. And I'm the same way, and Kimby's the same way. And I think it's really important. I think it gives these kids an advantage. And let's be honest, it's insider information that they're getting from people who've been there, done that. And there's a reason that those guys got there, and they're passing on that knowledge. That's the way I look at it anyways, Kimby.
Yeah, and Riz, when I was growing up, and I was always, for first and foremost, and I never looked at it this way when I was playing the game, but, and when you get out of the game, and I've been gone for a long time, and you look back, and I'm not pumping my tires or anything here at all. It just, it takes a different person to get to a level, and it takes breaks. There's a lot of shit that involves into this, but first and foremost, there has to be a fucking drive in you that's going to get you to that process. And, you know, because I'll always go back and Ribs can do the same story, and I can, a bunch of other guys that lived in Canada can do the same story. You moved away from home at 14 years old, for 15 years old. You're gone. There's a you pay a price. You know, I paid a price being away from my family. But it's a price that you pay, and everyone does it. But you have to have a hunger within inside you. And then once, if you have that hunger and you're going up that mountain, I was always told, you know, when you're working out, and my buddies would, you know, we'd always tell each other, hey, we got to fucking go to work here, man, because the fucking guy in the next town, he's doing it just as hard as we're doing it, if not harder. So that you always had to push yourself. So you always had that competitiveness in your body, whether you played in the NHL at the time or working your way up to the NHL, or even when I was in school, I hated to fucking lose. I just hated to lose at any sport I played. And was I the best? No. But I just hated to lose. And I think there has to be a hunger in you. And I think if you go to the elites that ever played this game, like the Gretzky's and that, and I, by no means am I ever saying that I'm on that same wavelength, but I'll guarantee you, if you had a conversation with the best in the world, the Tiger Woodses and these guys when they're in their prime, and Michael Jordan, I think you'll always hear from them. They hated to fucking lose, and they didn't like that. Losing wasn't even in their vocabulary. It wasn't that wasn't going to happen because they were so fucking good.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. Would you today, we live in a new world, right? Like, I know you always joke around about the old school, new school. And maybe the way it's set up now, kids don't have to do it. But if you were faced with your son, Rivs, I'll start with you. Would you let, would you let him? Would you let him move away at 14, 15 years old if that was what was necessary for them to become the player that you think they can be?
Well, that's a bit of a loaded question. And the reason it's loaded is because I moved away from home at that age, and so did Kimby, because we weren't getting the coaching that we needed but the level of hockey, we had to keep advancing in the hockey world. And back then, you had to take those big steps quickly or you got left behind. Nowadays, it's changed a little bit. And so, you know, I'm not a big fan of the kids leaving home at a young age. So, you know, 17 comes around, you know, yeah, it's up for discussion. But at 15 and 16 or whatever my son is now, 15, you know, I'd have to say that he could benefit just as much sticking around here, playing a good level hockey with good coaching and all that stuff. I don't think there's a need anymore to fast forward so quickly with some of these kids. And that's just my opinion.
And you know, and along with what Rivs is saying, and the reason, and true, because I'm playing in Lucky Lake, a town of 400 people, and so you had to move away to play against competition. That's just the way. But you were asked to move away, so someone had saw you. So now you got to go play against these guys. So now you're challenged again. And where I agree with Rivs is at this point in time, because of what happened here in St. Louis in 3 years ago or whatever, when all those kids got drafted in the first round. That put a big spotlight on St. Louis, and there's good hockey in St. Louis right now. So there's kids that are, and there's people that are looking towards St. Louis, because any scout that's sitting out there, and Rivs knows this as well as I do, when we go on the road and we go to places, you know, you're getting to the age now where you're going to a town and you'll run into guys that are scouting for hockey teams. And, you know, you go up to Minnesota and play, people go there because there's showcases going on for these kids, not just St. Louis, Chicago, Detroit, they're all there now. And so there's opportunity in St. Louis for kids. You know, you got to get on these travel teams and make it. But there's opportunity here where you don't have to go away from home. But they will be challenged. Like he says, 14, 15, 16, I don't think you got to go anywhere right now. The hockey's here for you because you're playing against the good kids still. You want to get up to 17, 18, there might be a chance where to go to junior hockey or a national development or whatever it might be, where it's a different – there's still another level here outside of St. Louis that gets tougher, you know.
Hey, Rivs, I know you got to get out of here, my man. I'm going to let you fly. Thanks for coming on, as always, brought to us by SynergyHockeySkills.com and our friends at NelsonLandServices.com. You go have some fun. I know you got to get to church. The priest is waiting on you for confession. Go ahead and throw in a few things you haven't even done yet, because we know you're going to do them. And we'll remember that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, my pal.
All right, boys. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys carrying the ball. And good talking shop, boys. Have a good one.
All righty.
Light a candle for me.
The one, the only Jamie Rivers. We couldn't get through a whole show.
No,
him.
That's good.
It is good. Lots of fun. Well, hey, listen, like I said, I got to ask you a question. I got to leave the show with this because, you used a word that I've been hearing a lot lately, and it's the cocksucker word, which a lot of people, you just busted that out. But I've heard it a lot lately because I've been watching Deadwood. Did you ever watch that?
No, never watched it.
I mean, that word's on there every 50 seconds is why I was wondering.
Where's the show made at?
It was on HBO.
But where's the show? Where do they film it?
It's a Western.
Where do they film it, though?
Oh, I don't know. Why is that a Canada thing?
I'm trying to figure that out because obviously I've heard the word before I ever moved to the States. I do know that, but I've never participated in it. I know that too.
Jesus. No, but it's just funny. I can't remember a lot. I'm serious. People I'm sure have watched Deadwood. It was a tremendous series, kind of before its time. Like if that thing came out today with Netflix and everything going on, yeah. It'd be one of the top series. I mean, it's so well done. It was like Sopranos.
Correct.
It was like that time frame. So. I've been watching it because it was so good, and I'd kind of forgotten about it. And I mean, they literally say the word like every minute. it's just unbelievable. And I was thinking to myself just last night, because I watched about 5 episodes last night because I couldn't sleep. I'm like, they say this word every minute. And I'm like, I can't remember the last time I heard somebody say this word, and you busted it out today, and it just made me think. So I got to ask you, are you a Netflix guy?
No, I'm not. I don't. I haven't. I want to get into it. My son's the only one that's got it in the house. He can watch the Netflix. I can't watch it. So
nothing. Like you're not a binge watcher. Like you don't.
Nope.
Even like not Netflix. Like yeah. AMC, Better Call Saul. None of that kind of stuff.
No. The only thing that I've
Game of Thrones.
The only thing that I've watched on TV on a regular basis. I watch 2 shows. One people are gonna laugh at me and call me a whatever they're gonna call me. But I watch The Voice. I watch Blake and them do their show. I just like the singing that comes on there. Just the stories of people that what they took to get to make it into the show. That's what I like about it, the stories and the music, obviously. And then this is gonna. I've watched this show since I was.
Your friends are aware of this.
Yeah, back in June. Well, some of them used to watch it with me, so they can't fucking say anything. But I watch Days of Our Lives, and that's the show I watch.
Oh, I thought you were going to bust out Golden Girls.
Oh, fuck no. But back in the day, you know, the Jeffersons, the Bunkers, you know, all those kinds of shows, Sanford and Son. We used to watch all them ones, but one on a consistent basis, I taped Days of Our Lives. I watched Days of Our Lives. Isn't that sad?
How long has this been going on?
Oh, fuck, my whole life. I've watched it since I was probably 15 years old. I got wrapped into this nonsense, so.
Have you missed an episode?
Oh yeah, no, I can. You can miss that. Like that's like going to work. You know, you can miss it for about 30 days and come back and it just like start.
But if
over
I
again.
Remember it, I used to watch it when I was younger. If I remember anything about that, the problem with that show was though. To your point, if you quit watching it for a month or two and you start watching it again, somebody that died may be back alive.
No, I was always a fan because
Hope was the hottest gal in history.
She's still on there, but
she look good still.
Yeah, she's aged well. But I was a fan of Stefano De Niro. He was my man, and
Victor Kyriakos and Stefano.
Victor's still there, but Stefano passed away, so he's been gone for a while. But Victor's still on there, and. You know, Bo's gone from the process, but it was Bo and Hope, you know, at the point in time. And
where's Bo?
Bo gone. They say he died somewhere, but I'm pretty sure he'll come back one day.
Well, what's poor Hope doing? Does she know I'm out here waiting for her?
Rafe's sort of tapping it up now, so that's the man.
She's unaware that I'm out here waiting for her?
I guess not, because she went back to another cop guy, Rafe, and Rafe sort of, he's been fooling around a lot of those women on there.
Rafe. Okay.
Silly bastard.
Well.
But anyway, that's
we all learned something about you today.
You know, I've watched shows though in the past. Don't give me Sopranos and
is Roman still on there?
Yes, Roman's still there. Yeah,
Jiminy Christmas. Yep. My few favorite characters on that, like when Patch went away, is when I quit watching.
Patch come back?
He came back, but by then I was over it. Yeah. I'm sorry, not dogging you. Yeah. I was just over
Patch
it.
Has come back and his actual wife come back and
Kayla.
Yeah, she's back now.
Wow.
So
you might get me watch. It's still on. I didn't even know that. I thought they were getting rid of all these.
Tape it at 2:00. So that's what I do. That's my life now. I'm a fucking soapbox. I've been doing that my whole life though. So I've always liked it.
Jiminy Christmas. Well, hey, that's a Twitter alert right there.
I know, but
we may get a tweet or two about you being big on Days of Our Lives.
You know,
we might get one.
I know you're going to go here on me, but here's my one thing that my only negative thing that I have on the Blues right now.
Oh, okay.
And I wish we would have talked about this, and we're not going to have time. But so the game they played against Washington.
Yeah.
Edmondson got poked in the beak.
Yeah.
And Petro got fucking run over. And nothing happened.
Yeah.
This pisses me off.
It came up on.
And I get fucking. And this is where I got a little jumpy with Rives on it because Rives fucking brought out You know, he'd be shit scared of Twister and that. And I said, really, Rivers, did you just say that? I said, because that's, you know, and I wasn't, I was just being a smart ass because Twister's fucking been long retired. And yeah, he would have scared the fuck out of him. He would have beat the fuck out of him. And I know all that, but that's not going to happen. We don't have that guy right now. And it just pisses me off because someone just had to fucking, you know, if you got to nip at his fucking skates, for just do something, but nothing's done. And I just, that bothers the shit out of me.
Well, it's always going to bother you.
Yeah, that is, that's, because, don't, you know what, because he went and fought. He fought a guy in Nashville the next night, Watson, who's got his ass kicked twice now. But, so there are fights going on, not at the majority level. Like, Reeves kicked the shit out of someone again, but you're not getting five fights a night by the all legitimate heavyweights, but guys are starting to battle here. And
well, let me ask you this question.
We got no one
then
to fucking battle.
Let me follow you up then. Let me follow it up with you then. The mantra is they're taking fighting out of hockey.
Yep.
Are they taking fighting out of hockey, or are guys just not willing to do it anymore?
I think guys, this is going to sound crazy.
Yeah, they. You know what I mean by that.
Yeah,
okay.
You're not going to have the guys that, like the heavyweights are not going to, like Reeves is going to be the last of the fucking dying breed, you know, because he still plays a lot. Not in a mega minutes, but he plays a fair amount. But he's going to be the last of the dying breed, a guy that really could, like Wilson is tough, but he fucking hits guys and he does that kind of shit but to not respond to him, just the fuck did that bother me? It just, Edmonton was sitting there and then Patty Maroon was in the penalty box with him and come out of the fucking box after he did that and just do something. And I don't care if you fight him, go fucking whack him. I don't care, do something. But Petro, your captain, gets run over and you know, and I just
don't know. Did you think that was a bad hit?
No, not at all. Yeah, not okay. At fucking all. Right. I think it's a great hit. But that's your cap.
Well, I'm just going to bring this up again. It just seems like no matter what Tom Wilson does, everybody wants to act like there's something wrong with it.
I'm not knocking the cap.
People, I saw tweets. Oh, here we go again. And I'm like, what'd he do? Oh, he didn't do anything wrong.
I loved everything he did. I just wish he was wearing a different fucking uniform.
I wish he was wearing a blue note.
Yeah, but that night he wasn't. And it's almost like he's making everyone their bitch, and I just don't get it. What the fuck's he gonna do to you? Like Patty Maroon's as big as fucking, bigger than I am. You know, where's the fucking the team beater? Where was he at? Why didn't he fucking step up?
See, that's your problem with Bortuzzo. Yeah. If you're gonna beat up your own guy in practice,
already fought the fucking idiot. You didn't get hurt. Go fight him again. You know, keep fucking doing it until he leaves you fucking alone.
Okay, so. You keep saying things that I know the fans would ask a follow-up question, so I got to ask you then. So no matter how tough you are in the league, there's got to be somebody willing to say, I don't care how tough you are, I just can't let you do this, right?
Yeah, here's my thing. So so the whole Bortuzzo thing went on, and he responded, and I can tell that he doesn't fucking like to do it. So that's first and foremost. So he doesn't fucking like to do it, but you've done it once. You've went there, and I'll guarantee you didn't get. I don't think you got fucking hurt in the battle. So, if you didn't get hurt, then what the fuck's scaring you from going back again? You know, you didn't. It's not like you're having to do it every fucking day like the guys had to do it back in the day. You're gonna do it fucking maybe six times in a year, but walk to that fucking. You've done it once, and you're still skating. You're fine. You know, there's not much going on. There's not many Wilsons out in the fucking hockey world anymore. But when he goes and runs over your captain, who's a fucking defenseman, who I'm sure that you're going to sit by on the bench quite a bit because you play fucking D, go fucking after the guy.
Well, to your point, maybe it did hurt. Everybody tried to act like Bortuzzo held his own in that fight, but maybe a couple of them punches hurt.
I just don't think he likes to do it. So
no, you know, and that's kind of what I meant.
What I think is going on is he doesn't want him to get himself fucking caught in a bird here, where a bird cage, where he's gonna have to fucking do it all the time. And so if he says, well, no, but you're the fucking one that opened the envelope, young man. If you're gonna open the envelope, whether you like to do it or not, especially when you're fucking captain, who you sit beside on a fucking bench with to try to win hockey games, who's going to go to battle with you, you better stand up for that poor son of a bitch.
Yeah, that'd be important.
That's just my saying.
Well, it's funny. We were just talking about the tweet of your NHL debut, and your first NHL fight was because your first NHL fight was that exact scenario, right? Because somebody had ran Joe Sakic.
No, that's not what my first.
Isn't that what happened?
No, that happens later on. My first NHL fight was me fucking establishing a reputation because I just got called up to the National Hockey League and I was fucking looking to
fight.
Was
that your second fight?
that night? No, you had two fights?
I fought twice, but they were just to fight guys that were fucking...
Oh, the Joe Sakic thing didn't happen in your... Yeah, I know you told the story. I thought that
was when. That's actually when Todd was playing for Montreal, and I was in Quebec, and Todd ran Joe. And then another one was McSorley ran Guy Lafleur. That's those ones. Those
oh, okay, okay.
That there is just me fucking having one hell of a hockey game is what that was.
You look... let me tell you something. Is that the best game you ever played?
No, I played a game in junior where I scored 4 goals one game.
And beat the piss out of somebody?
No, I don't think I did that. I scored 4 goals in a River Otter game one time, too.
You lit up the you lit up the sheet when you played for the River Otters.
Yeah, I just had that groove going, didn't I?
That was when the people started that conversation of, see, these guys can score. They just play in the best league in the world, and they don't get the ice time nor the thing. Let me ask you that question real quick. Tom Wilson puts up numbers.
Yeah.
Is that because of the way his coach uses him?
Yeah, but he's a...
Could other guys do that?
But you need, you look at, and I'll go back to the who I believe was the toughest guy in the game, was Bob Probert. But there's a point when Proby in Detroit, he was playing all the fucking time when he goes to the All-Star game, but he's playing all the time. And, you know, you look at Proby, as big as he wasn't the fastest skater, you know, but usually big guys, the tough guys that would fight, they weren't great skaters. Like Todd Ewan could skate. He was a really good skater. But guys can't, Ryan Reeves can skate really well. But, it takes guys a little bit longer to get their feet going because they're participating in other events in a hockey game, and they're not getting the ice time. If you're playing a game, and fuck, you know, I was playing in the National Hockey League with the best people in the world, so their talents, were way above and beyond mine. I was lucky to get to the National Hockey League, but I got there on a different road. But, you know, if Darren Kimball was playing Brett Hall minutes, am I scoring 86 goals? Fuck no, that's not what I'm doing. Right. But could you be involved in the game? In order to be a player like what Wilson's getting, but he creates something. He skates really well. He gets involved in the game. He's scoring goals. Fuck, his points are good.
And his size creates space for himself.
If you get a big guy, if you have a big guy that is scoring and can skate well against a little guy that can do the same thing and they're putting up the same numbers, you're always, I don't give a fuck who you are. You're taking the big guy because that's the guy that's going to be the long J. He's going to create more room for himself. He's going to do more things. And I'm not knocking a little guy. I'm just telling you a fact. You know, if you put a big guy up against, if you put a 6'4" guy up against a 5'7" guy, and they both can do the same shit, who are you taking? I know who you're taking. You're taking the big guy.
Well, can a guy like Ryan Reeves or Tom Wilson play third line instead of fourth line?
For sure.
Yeah, that was kind of where I was going with
this. What do you mean? Wilson plays fucking, he plays with Ovechkin.
But my point is, where I'm going with this is, I think the view always is fourth line.
Exactly. Well, when I played, it was... You know, they called it fourth line, but basically you were fucking weren't even on a line. You were on the bench and you were getting your three shifts and
until they tapped you and said take this shift, and there was a reason for it.
You know, and then if the score got out of hand, then you got to play.
Right.
But usually when you get to play, then the fucking other tough guy wants to fight you, so then that sort of fucked the game up. So you weren't getting to play there. But yeah, no, that's why I always say the NHL was where the goal to get to. Did I love the NHL? Of course I love the NHL, but when you got to play in junior hockey, when you got to play in the minors, when you got to play the game of hockey, I had more fun playing the game of hockey in other leagues, but the goal was to get to the National Hockey League, and the goal was, you know, you're trying to feed yourself also, where it was paid more money. But fun-wise, when you got to play the game, that was fun.
I'm trying to confirm this. I just saw it on Twitter.
Make sure.
Allen first off the ice.
Yeah, so and they should play him tonight. They should play. And plus, he played well last game.
Yeah.
Plus, he played well last game, so... This could be a. I'm going to start it. I think there could be something.
You're
in the
works. You're going to start it. You're starting shit. You know that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm starting shit. But you know what? I think it's good for both parties.
You've been good at starting shit in your whole life. Well, hey man, thanks. Appreciate everything going on. I know you're a busy guy. You got club hockey. You got high school hockey.
Off to Colorado. We got high school tonight, and off to Colorado. Just all over the place.
What happens when you're gone? Who coaches the high school team?
I got guys We got four assistants that I help coach.
So that they just step up and coach the team when you're gone. That's the arrangement.
Obviously not as good, but they try.
Oh, boy, here we go. They don't have a video like that from their NHL debut,
no,
I promise you
they
that.
Don't.
There's a few guys that might, but no.
I got one assistant coach. They had an all-star, the game back in Granite City.
Yeah.
Kyle Watson, he coached with me, Kyle. And
he was a good player, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's scrappy, little good for high school. He was, And then one of my other guys, I got a goalie coach. He used to play Granite City, and he's a goalie, but he was playing the goal, and Kyle was playing, and it's fucking amazing because they get a picture of Kyle shooting the puck, and it's actually, you can see it where it goes in and it hits the fucking water bottle up top and knocks it off. And so Kyle, being the smart ass that he is, he comes and he posts that up on the on the wall in our dressing room now. So that's what he's got. His that's his crew.
Who's the goalie? Right, do I know him? You don't want to say? Okay. No. Yeah, yeah. Just to make sure. No, I got you. So yeah, I know we don't want to. We don't want to rain on his parade. I got you. I got you. So listen, here's the deal. I think you're doing a great thing, and I'm glad to see it. You know, back in Granite City, where I played high school hockey, and it was a blast, and we had the time of our lives down there. And you know, you're doing a good. There's been other guys too that have carried the water down there and done a great job. And I know, you know, there's up years, there's down years, but man, you're doing a good job down there, and people are excited, naturally so. I mean, you do a great job, and we talk about all the different people. SynergyHockeySkills.com, which does such a great job, and they obviously bring ribs each week. NelsonLandServices.com, 5-star locally rated company that does tremendous work. You've seen their handiwork. All they're asking is for you to check them out at NelsonLandServices.com and get a look at some of the stuff that they've done. Again, 5-star locally rated affordable prices, and it's just a great family. But like I said, you've done so much with that community. They have as well. You've made it fun, but this is interesting. Like, I've always wondered that dynamic, because you guys have both said on here before that sometimes the best players aren't there on the weekends because they're out of town playing with their mm-hmm. clubs. And it's like, how do you manage that? And then I started thinking, well, what about the coaches?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's always going to go in. And just so he doesn't think I'm an asshole, Tony, I'm going to give you the first name. We'll give you Tony.
And, okay. Well, I know you didn't want to run him into ground because he got scored on the water bottle, but yeah.
Because Tony's got a hard job to do. You know, he's got three goalies he's trying to do, but I didn't want to do it. But so Tony's that, so I'll. Just in case Tony's one of our listeners, he'll say, well, that fucker didn't even want to mention my name. I said, no.
No, he didn't want to throw you under the bus, babe, because you got water bottled. But that's okay.
Who the fuck would ever want to be said the Kyle Watts scored
on? It's where Panger says, where Mama hides the cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, they don't want to have that one done to you. But.
And who would kind of goalie would want Kyle Watson? That'd be just as bad as Danny Green scored. Same shit.
You on your skates out there, babe?
Yeah, I'm actually feeling pretty good. I'm getting going. I was thinking.
When are you going to start playing in some of these alumni things?
No, fuck that nonsense.
Never? You're not going to do that?
I'm out for the kids. I'm for the kids.
You're in good shape. You get out and play these alumni games with Rivs and show them those Rivs, skills.
Those guys there, it's hard to get into their little circle. They all still think they're big wigs, and I'm just a fucking little guy over in Grand City.
Oh, you know what's coming. We're going to next show, Rivs will be, Kimby, you can come out. We got room for you, Kimby.
They only let me come out when some of the big boys don't show up. They want the scrubs to come out. So then finally I just don't fuck off.
Well, hey, good stuff, man. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for coming in today, and safe journeys to Colorado for hockey. Yeah, always good. You carry the mail well when you run the big chair.
Yeah, we're getting there. Yeah, we'll be getting here in a couple of weeks. Got playoff hockey coming up in high schools and all that. So and national pushes and all this. So it gets interesting hockey here right now for these young kids. So it gets exciting.
I guess we could call this playoff push time for the Blues. Although, I don't think you realize they still got 3 months left of hockey, really. I mean, that's the thing. I'm thinking people think, well, you know, we're getting close, and we are. We get closer every day, but they can put this together. We'll see what happens.
The future of the Blues here is going to be big for the next 3 months, though. We're going to see what goes on. I'm hoping they make a great push and they get to the playoffs and everything. But I think there's a future out there, and I think this is probably one of the biggest trade deadlines coming up.
I agree for different views
in the history of St. Louis Blues hockey.
You know, I'm not interested in like what they add. I'm interested in what they get rid of.
Exactly.
No, obviously I'm curious.
Oh, yeah.
What
you
we
want
get
some coming?
Yeah. But it's like, man, somebody rather than hey, who are we going to add, and we don't care about who goes.
Yeah.
It's like some people got to go. So it'll be interesting. We have covered about all we can cover today, but let's hear from another voice that's become a part of our program with his wonderful Live from Minner Arena segment. Everybody knows Dennis Minner and his wonderful man cave that any Blues fan would be happy to have. And we're excited about always doing our live show from there every year. Well, I say live. We record it live and then we play it later, but it's kind of fun. We've got something real interesting plan. I'm going to use the word interesting and fun plan for our event this year at Minner Arena. Putting the final touches on a program. Just met with our friends at Adam Smokehouse that bring you this segment each and every week. Don't forget our friends at Adam Smokehouse on Watson Road. Open till 7 o'clock on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Closed on Mondays, but always available on their open days for delivery if you fall in the right zip code. And, of course, catering. All the box lunches going out there now. People buying them for work and things like that. I'm telling you. It's tremendous barbecue. You guys are going to love it. They wanted to jump in on the program here, and nothing better than jumping in with our friend Dennis Minner, live from Minner Arena. Take it away.
Hey, thanks, guys. This is Dennis Minner coming at you live from Minner Arena. Give me a follow on Twitter, @MinnerArena, and go check out what's going on in the greatest St. Louis Blues fan cave out there. Hey, and I'm brought to you by the one and only Adam Smokehouse. Also, go check them out on Twitter, @AdamsSmokehouse. absolutely hands down best barbecue in this city. Open 6 days a week. They will deliver. They will cater. They will do box lunches. You can go in there, sit down, and you can ask for Mike, and you can sit down and talk hockey with these guys. Mike, the owner, is actually from Canada, so he really does know hockey. And just an unbelievable establishment. You've got to go check out Adam's Smokehouse. Let them know that Dennis from Inner Arena sent you. Hey, let's go ahead and start this segment out real quick with a congrats to one of my most recent favorite Blues players on the team that we've had over the years. That was TJ Oshie. Say what you want. There was always rumors about the locker room and that, you know, sometimes he could be a diva or whatnot. But you know what? The guy's awesome. He's fun to watch. He's a hustler. So congrats, TJ Oshie, for his 700th game that he played last night, which is hard to believe that TJ Oshie has been around that long, but he has. So pretty impressive. So, hey, last week I was ready to jump off a cliff. I was ready to jump off a cliff because we had just continued to get beat down. And we were 12 points out of the wild card. And just a week ago, I didn't feel like there was much glimmer of hope. Now, all of a sudden, I never thought I would say this. I'm excited. We're in 22nd place because we're 4 points out of the wild card with a game in hand on Minnesota, which is absolutely it's just insane to me. And I've been seeing and having conversations with people saying, yeah, but it's always that yeah, but with Blues and us as fans. People saying, yeah, but if we even make it to the playoffs, we'll get blown up. Guys, I don't care. At this point, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, last place and we get a first pick. No, man, screw that. I want to go to the playoffs. Whether we make it very far or not, that should be every fan's hope, is that this team makes it. The city needs it. The team needs it. They need the revenue. And us fans, man, we deserve it. But we come here. We are. We're coming off of an overtime loss, and I got to tell you, Binnington has been absolutely insane good. You know, I know everyone is acting like he is the greatest thing since sliced bread. The fact is, man, we don't know enough about Binnington to know if it's going to continue. But I'll tell you what, man, I am enjoying watching him. There is an ease to watching his play. There is just a very comfortable nature that I feel like, and he stays in position and he's willing to challenge and attack shooters. And I feel like I just feel like he has he's more comfortable in the net, I feel like, than Allen. Binnington gets his first loss, but that first goal, man, really looked like interference. And then we see Dunn is obviously the new whipping boy now on Twitter after him having that bad pass and then leaving the ice for the replacement. My question is, why do those guys even start, you know, on the power play? But hey, look, I'm going to try to be positive. We tied it. We got a point. That's incredible, because like I said, 2 weeks ago we were 12 points out. The month of January, guys, we're 5-2-1 so far, the month of January. But I'm going to throw you everyone a little bit, and I'm going to talk about Thursday night's game in Boston. I'm almost scared to say this because I know if anyone's listening, I'm going to get ripped apart for it. I think Jake Allen should start. Guys, at home, he's horrible. I mean, the team is horrible. 8-9-2, 3.65 goals against, 0.878 save. You guys, looking on the road with Allen, he's 7-5-2, 2.21, and 0.925 save percentage. And I got to tell you, I would go with Allen in Boston. I would definitely get Binnington right back in there. And like I said, I know that everyone thinks Binnington is the savior. I am not anti-Allen like some people would think, but I'm not necessarily pro-Allen. I'm just not a fan when a player is that inconsistent. But if we're going to be in looking at, you know, some some consistencies with Allen. He's doing good on the road, so who knows? I do want to tell you something that we are going to start doing, and that is we're going to start featuring more of you guys, not just hearing me talk, but actually featuring some of you guys as fans. What we're going to do is I'm going to start meeting up with you at games and things like that, and we're going to interview you, and we're going to find out what you like about the Blues and what you think about the Blues. So here's what I want you to do. If you're listening right now, I need you to comment, post on Twitter, at Minner Arena, that you want to be the Live for Minner Arena featured fan, okay? So that's what you need to do. Go on there and say, hey, Minner Arena, I want to be the Live from Minner Arena featured fan on the Blues podcast, and we will get you hooked up, all right? So, hey, go check out Adam's Smokehouse. Make sure and go stockpile up on some of their ribs and some of their smoked chicken wings before we get that snow this weekend. And, man, I really, really hope this trend continues. And I am still smiling and as positive as what I feel like I'm being right now. So until then, guys, let's go Blues.
Well, always good to hear from Dennis. Love his takes, love his passion, love the fact that he's just an everyday Blues fan like the rest of us. It means that people are passionate about Blues hockey, and that's what we need. Hopefully we've turned that corner, as we've discussed on the show numerous times. But as far as our Live from Inner Arena segment that's brought to you by Adam Smokehouse, I'm telling you, we're going to have a really cool contest to put into our show this year that's going to get the fans involved and an opportunity for you to come to the recording, the live recording that we're going to do from Minner Arena with our special guest. I know we hope that, as always, Ribs comes through with a good one for us. It'd be fine with me if it's Tony Twist every year. I know it'd be fine with everybody else. But this year, the plan is our friends at Adam Smokehouse are going to cater the event with the guests. And, of course, being part of the show, we're going to give some lucky fans the opportunity to be a part of that show and show up and hang with us for the day. So look for the details on that. I will tell you it's going to start in February. We're going to plan this one out pretty good. And I will tell you it's going to involve you taking a selfie eating at Adam Smokehouse. So you can get over there. You can try the food. It's going to be great. But anyway, thanks to Dennis, as always, for his Live from Inner Arena segment. Good stuff, man. Appreciate it very much. Want to thank Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com for his continued support as well. Residential, commercial, industrial, he brings you the show each and every week. Don't forget, he's a man of experience, a man of that has earned the trust of all of his customers and friends. If he shakes your hand, looks you in the eye, folks, it's going to get done. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. Construction, heating and cooling, electric, and now plumbing team ready to roll for you. Want to thank everybody for joining us. You can find us at BluesNHLPodcast.com. Subscribe to the show there. It's free. Don't forget to find us on Twitter, at STO Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back. Hit us up on Facebook as well. Find the pinned post. Once you've typed in Blues NHL Podcast in the Facebook search bar, make sure you've liked our page. Click invite your friends. We'd love to have everybody else involved as well. But that pinned post, make sure you've liked it, commented on it, and shared it. That's how we reach more Blues fans. And you guys are doing it, and we do appreciate it greatly. Find us on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast Show as well. And as I mentioned earlier, we always come to you from the lineupmedia.fm studios, home of the newest streaming platform, Yo Radio. Special thanks one more time to my co-host, Darren Kimball, and all the way from sunny Vegas, probably. Although we're melting our snow around here, Kimby. I know you probably like the snow, but all the way from Vegas, Jamie Rivers on the SynergyHockeySkills.com celebrity line. Yes, that's right. He is the celebrity on his own celebrity line. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.